We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Joining us now, Abel Porter, who hit one heck of a shot. Baseline three, wide open. You feel in the pressure on a shot like that, or you just go muscle memory and just let it fly?
Nah, you just got to let it fly. I can't really think about anything that's happened up until that point because, I mean, we didn't shoot it great. So if I would have thought about what had happened up until that point, I probably wouldn't have shot it. So sometimes you just got to let it fly when you're that open, and luckily it went in.
How would that? You took a little deep breath before you shot it. I saw you exhale. That was awesome. But, hey, how about Sam kind of pointing out that you were wide open right there? This is good teamwork.
Yeah, I saw that. They doubled him. They ran with the double, and he was yelling at Bean to – and teams do that when you have a player with as much gravity as Sam. Sometimes he just can pull the entire defense, and luckily with Bean was paying enough attention to see what was going on and to make the read.
But you were onions right there, brother.
Had to do something.
Yeah. So I've asked Coach about this, and I want to get your thoughts as a player. When somebody hits a desperation shot and it's not over, you got to go into overtime. Is it tough to get the juice going again? I mean, after a shot like that, you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe he hit that. We should be over. We should be celebrating right now. Or do you just like, hey, look, let's just go another 5 minutes. We're gonna be fine.
That's a good question. I would say generally that is the case for teams is. After you feel like you kind of have the game wrapped up, yeah, and they hit a shot like that, the natural thing to do would be to kind of hang your head and sulk back into the huddle. But we took it as kind of a timeout to reset, kind of catch our breath from everything that had happened. And I think our mentality was awesome coming back out into overtime. So, yeah, that does happen to teams sometimes, but I really liked our mentality after that happened.
About the last 9 minutes of the game, so last 4 minutes of regulation into overtime. Interesting lineup on the floor. Not something maybe you've worked on that in practice, or
we've had a couple weird lineups like that. But yeah, it was something we haven't had it really in a game, mm-hmm, or definitely in an important game like this. And so you just got to keep playing. Luckily, we played all together before, yeah, so it was kind of a group of veterans that you knew who was going to be where and what they were going to do. So that felt comfortable, definitely, but. I mean, just for the defensive side, I think we needed that lineup in.
You had a guy in New Williams who was 3 of 25 shooting threes coming into this game. and then all of a sudden he starts catching fire. Is that just – I guess that's just college basketball. Is that any guy can just get hot at any given night?
I mean, yeah, for sure. And if anyone had watched Fresno last year, you knew that,
yeah,
he was a shooter, and that 3 of 25 was not the truth about who he was as a player. And to be honest, he just got it going. You could see it in his eyes that he was feeling good and he was going to take those shots. And the same kind of thing happened last year with Huggins here on this court. He just got it going, and he made that three to win the game for him. Kind of a desperation three pull up, and that same thing happened with New. And you just have to kind of take the hits as they come, and then make sure that you're holding everyone else down while he's going off.
What's the emotional value of having Kata check into a game?
Oh, big time. I mean, just the morale as a team. You saw everyone how excited the fans got, how the energy in the building completely changed. We love it. And you saw Nimi get out there, and his energy was up right away, and we were a little more energized on the defensive end. And just the gravity that he brings on the defensive end is incredible. And it just opens up so many opportunities for the rest of us. We were able to get a few post touches and play inside out with him in there. I mean, he's so important, and we just need him back, and we want him back as much as possible.
So when you get him back when he's playing, you know, 20-plus minutes a game, how much pressure does that take off you guys on the perimeter and allowing you to be a little bit more aggressive and maybe take some more chances?
Defensively, it takes a ton of pressure off of our shoulders. Obviously, he's the defensive player of the year. You still want to be able to keep your man in front of you, but I'd be lying if I said I'm not as worried about him getting around me when I know that Nimi's behind me. And I mean, I would say it's equally on offense too. A lot of people don't really think about Nimi on the offensive end, but when you have a solid post presence that you can just feed the ball and then play off of him, and he's such an amazing passer that you know that he's going to make the right read. And so just his entire game as a whole will just, I think, push this team to where we really want to be.
I thought he brought smiles to the floor, like the relief, or was it – I mean, he loves to play basketball, but then everyone else, all of his teammates, everyone with big smiles on their face.
I mean, definitely relief. Just finally seeing – you just have heard all about it, about he's going to be back, he's going to be back. And then finally when he just took that first step on the court and it was he's actually back, that I think everyone was just like, wow, like it's finally here. It was like Christmas morning watching Nimi walk on the court, early Christmas present for us.
Can I point out one thing? Versus the press of Fresno State, I am so relaxed with you with the basketball in the full court. What makes you so comfortable up there just kind of letting it break down, get to a man-on-man, and then just handling it?
Yeah, that's good. Their press is a little different from someone like New Mexico.
Yeah.
They're not trying to pressure you into turnovers. What they're really trying to do is pressure you into quick shots. And so for me, it's my job as the point guard to just kind of calm everyone down and make sure that even though they're giving us wide open lanes, we want to play aggressive, but we want to take the right shots. And so I want to make sure that ball security starts with me and that we can still handle the team and then get into our offense as we get down the court.
So Not to look back on San Jose, but that wasn't a particularly great night from the free throw line. And tonight, you guys, 31 of 34. I mean, and you needed every single one of those free throws, too.
31 of 34, that's pretty good. I remember in the first half thinking, oh, no, it's another San Jose.
Yeah, Diogo goes 0 for 2.
Yeah,
right,
and I was a little worried there for a sec. But, I mean, the numbers don't lie. We're a good free throw shooting team. Law of averages always works out, and luckily, we were able to knock him down, especially in those big moments down the stretch. And Nimi did a great job
he's
knocking
five of
his
six.
Free throws down. Yeah.
Some guy's been working on that. It's like when I told Coach, it's like when Happy Gilmore learned how to putt.
I mean,
like,
when you can't walk or move, there's always free throws.
Hey, well, congratulations, man.
Hey, thank you guys so much.
Yeah, great job.
Thank you guys
great
so
job,
much.
Abel Porter, shot of the night,
shot
Utah
of the night.
State.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, welcome on back to the Spectrum. Final score this one, 77-70. Craig Smith joins us for our post-game conversation. And, Coach, I had so many angles to take in this game. First off, when somebody hits a desperation three, it's not over. It sends into overtime. I asked Abel this. Sometimes he said, sometimes it's hard to get the emotions back after you kind of get gutted like that. He goes, but we realized, look, five more minutes, let's go ahead and get taken care of this. You had to like the way you guys handled that situation.
Well, I thought it was a Braxton Huggins replay. Yeah. Like, literally, it was basically the exact same spot, but at least he swished it, and this one was a bank shot. I mean, it came off the backboard so hard and drills the front rim and, like, cradles in. But, you know, that's to me, at the end of the day, you know, like when we talked to the guys after, I didn't look at one stat, and it was just like we just found a way to win, and that's maturity and guys that have been there before and just the belief, because we were supposed to foul.
Yep, I would hope so.
Like, that's what we do.
what time?
We usually go about 8 seconds.
Okay.
Yeah, because you still – I trust our foul shooting, and I trust that we're not going to turn it over. So, you know, if you trust that, then you can – the longer So we didn't foul for 8 seconds.
Yeah.
That's the problem, right? And it can be tough. And I got to look in the mirror, too, because we practiced that a ton throughout the summer, throughout the month of before we get into the games. But we haven't practiced that much lately. Mm-hmm. And the other part of that is, too, it's a lot – it's easier to foul in that situation when they're inbounding it with 12 seconds left or 10 – and you got them, you know what I mean? But in the course of there's 18 seconds on the clock, and we called the timeout, and now we did a great job at defending. Like, we defended our butts off in that situation, cutting them off. We're lifting a hand, getting it. And so then it gets to the point, too, where guys don't want to be the guy that fouls as he's just rising up into the shot. And I'm yelling at Brock, foul! Like, well, I was yelling at the whole team.
Yeah.
But Brock ended up getting the switch onto the ball, and he's playing with it, and then, you know, 1.5 seconds or whatever, and he fires it up. But the fortitude to come back, you know, our whole team knew we were supposed to foul. And Brock was disappointed in himself, but at the end of the day, we all had his back. And it's always about NBA in our program, Next Best Action. And we've been down this road before. Colorado State last year to win the league in overtime when we were down late. Boise State, when we were down 5 with 40 seconds to go, found a way to win that in overtime. New Mexico, when things weren't going great, and somehow Abel makes that 3 and we, you know, get enough stops late in that game to – I don't think they scored the last 3 minutes. So we've been in those scenarios. We have confidence in each other. You could see we played all the veteran guys, made maybe a little bit of a – it was a tough call, man. We, you know, Nimi's on a minute restriction. The game flipped when he got in for that 5-minute run. I think we were down 6 or 7 or 8. And when he came out, I think it was tied or a 1-point game. Either way, I don't remember. And I think there was a few people like, why are you taking him out? And we put in Fonz, but I didn't think Fonz was great tonight. And his plus-minus was really bad. And that happens sometimes. And at the end of the day, we just said, screw it. Let's play small. Let's play our veteran guys in this kind of a game, and let's find a way to win. But I know this is a long answer. The other part I was really happy with, because we couldn't throw it in the ocean, 1 for 10 at halftime. We run spread, high pick and roll for Sam, which we probably maybe need to look at doing that a little bit more. And he gets that pull up. We get another easy basket, and then they start kind of trapping him. But Sam is so good. You know, he makes the right read, kicking out of that thing. And as a result, Abel hits the 3 in the corner, and Diogo rises up and hits that 1 to go up 4 with, what, maybe a little less than 2 minutes to go. But then they come down. They call a timeout, and they run the flare screen for Newell, and Brock goes under the screen, and he drills a 23-footer. And you're just like, how do we go from a game from nobody making a basket, because they were 3 for 16 at the half, to now nobody can miss a basket, and that's basketball, especially in December.
We'll talk about not missing a basket. Free throws weren't great against San Jose, but tonight 31 of 34, and you needed each and every one of those two.
We did, and we made 21 out of 22 in the second half in an overtime, and we're a good free throw shooting team. That was a bit of an anomaly. You know, when Sam misses, goes 3 for 6 from the line like he did in San Jose, but going into that game, we were 78% from the free throw line. And which is one of the best, you know, it's towards the top in the country. So, you know, people will say, like, well, look at that free throw disparity. Well, you know, when you average 31.5 free throws, threes a game, which Fresno does, jump shooting teams usually don't get fouled. And we can make jump shots, obviously, but we play on attack and try to get downhill. And I thought we could have shot more.
I ask Abel the same question, but man, what's the feeling like just emotionally when you see Nimi step on the court and that big old smile back there, and then everyone else's smile? What's the emotional feeling that gives you as a coach?
The crowd with the applause, you know, the standing ovation.
Well, you know, this was kind of a last minute deal a little bit, and so it was cool that it happened at home. And then you try to be somewhat strategic, and it's always like in your mind, okay, because he's on a minute restriction. So when do you bring him in? When you have an idea in your mind, but then you got to feel how the game is going. It kind of goes with your gut feeling. And, you know, he's up there on the bike and you wave him, and all of a sudden here he comes in the hook. You know, it's honestly, you get emotional, like you get fired up, but you also get emotional because he's worked his butt off to get back, like all these student athletes do to get back. And you know, it's just it's in my mind, I was prepared. He's never coming back. Now I knew better, but I just think that's how everyone deals with things differently. That's how I have to deal with it. What's our best situation? Because I don't know if Nimi's going to be back. And then if he does, it's a bonus. But I think what gets harder and harder throughout this process is he wasn't doing anything on the floor, obviously, all summer. Well, once he got hurt, does none of the preseason stuff. So then when he kind of got the clearance to start doing some non-contact stuff, he was at every practice, but he's sitting there before he got the clearance. So I don't think the guys think about it.
Yeah.
But then you start seeing him doing the non-contact and the shooting and the sliding. And, you know, we're over here doing this, and he's over there doing some of that stuff. And now you start hoping, right? It's like, you know, the guys start seeing like, oh, he's making progress. He's making progress. And now you start allowing yourself maybe mentally to say like, when's he going to be back? And you start wishing and hoping and not dealing in the moment, in the reality. And I think that brings a little bit of strain, but it was so cool. What a great ovation by our fans. And so hopefully he does well, and hopefully he's, you know, there's no swelling in there tomorrow. And hopefully we can gain some momentum on this thing and get him going back in the groove. But I thought he really impacted the game this second half.
Well, and look, I had purposely, because I know everybody, you couldn't go to a grocery store and somebody not asking about him. So I purposely had tried not to bring it up and not ask you about it. But now that he got out there, a lot of people ask me like, oh, there's probably a date and just nobody's telling. And I kept saying,
no.
Look, I take Coach Smith at his word. If he says he doesn't know, he doesn't know.
No, I'm telling you, we didn't know.
Yeah.
And there was never a date. Like, I'd always go to Carl. And Carl Smith, our athletic trainer, and our medical people have done a fantastic job. And Logan Ogden, our strength coach. Like, Logan and Carl and I are kind of all working hand in hand. And, you know, I try not to get over-consumed with it because I just don't want – it's like they say in Shawshank Redemption, hope is a dangerous thing.
Yeah.
And hope is a dangerous thing both ways. And I didn't want to get my too excited, you know. And so – but you could start seeing – some things where he's just getting more comfortable and you get the feedback how he feels. And it's like anything. The doctor has to clear you.
Yeah.
Then the trainer, Carl, has to, you know, because he's always watching their movements and how he moves. And we have some medical stuff that we can kind of tell. And part of why it took longer to get back is Nimi at the end of the year last year was 218. He's 248 right now. Mm. So he's put on a ton of great weight. But it's taken him longer to get the strength in the knee to where it needs to be. So if he was still at 220, it wouldn't have taken him as long. Mm-hmm. But it's just how it goes. And we're excited to see him back. I know all the Aggie fans are. This is going to be a great week for us to kind of recover, get better. And then obviously we got BYU is a very, very good team. They have it all. Yoli Childs is obviously back in full strength. And, you know, Jake Toulson's a grad transfer that's really good, and they already returned a really good team. So it's going to be a heck of a battle on Saturday, and let's take care of business on Tuesday night at home.
Coach, appreciate it. Thanks for coming by.
All right, boys. Go Aggies. Thanks to all the fans for coming out.
We'll be back with you next week on Tuesday. That's it for us. Utah State gets it done 77-70 on the Aggie Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
On the Aggie Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. Aggie basketball has been brought to you by Ford. Go further. SC Needham Jewelers, where Utah gets engaged. America First Credit Union. Financial solutions for every need. And by New York Life. Be good at life. The proceeding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Aggie Sports Network.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.